Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In our verse-by-verse study through the book of Romans, we have come on this Monday, November 8, to the subject of the church. And to emphasizing, or should I say recognizing, the prominent place that the New Testament scriptures give to the church in God's plan for His people. And all of this is found in Romans 1, verses 11 through 14, which I will now read for you. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was hindered before, that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." And so in analyzing what Paul is saying here about his relationship to the church, and particularly what he says about his relationship to the church in the city of Rome, we have made the observation, first of all, that the local church is the context in which believers best exercise their spiritual gifts. We talked about that on the broadcast last Friday, and that is verse 11. And then secondly, we have seen that the local church is the primary means for the believer's growth in sanctification, in edification, being built up. And that is the gist of verse 12. He says, "I want to come to you that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." I want to come to you for the purpose of mutual edification. And here we note that even an apostle of Jesus Christ, even an inspired apostle of Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write Scripture, needs the fellowship of the church. He needs the fellowship of the visible church, the local church, the particular church, a particular body of believers, in this case in the city of Rome. Paul is communicating in verse 12 that his visit to Rome was not a one-way street. Paul fully expected to be strengthened by his fellowship with the church at Rome. He was not going only to strengthen them. He was going to receive strength for himself. He was going to, as we saw in the broadcast last week, impart to them some spiritual gift, that is, to exercise the spiritual gifts that had been given to him by Christ, his wonderful preaching, teaching gifts, the knowledge that he had, the ability that he had to teach the Word of God. He wanted to bring his gifts to the benefit of the church at Rome, where he had not yet been, and a church that had not, therefore, received the benefit of the gifts that God had given to him, but he didn't expect it to be all one way. He expected, in coming to Rome, to receive help from them as well, which is the way that it is designed by Christ to work. The local church is designed for mutual encouragement, mutual comfort, mutual strengthening of individual believers, each exercising his faith and his place in the body for the benefit of others. by example and by activity. All of us are a benefit to our brothers and sisters in Christ by simply setting an example of believing faith, of obedient faith, walking in faith, and just doing that in view of our brothers and sisters in Christ is a tremendous encouragement. Now, if we never interact within the body, if we become maverick Christians, if we don't interact with the church, or if we just kind of flit around, visit churches here, there, and everywhere, not really getting involved in the lives of particular Christians in any one particular local church, if we just land at church occasionally, show up once in a while, once in a blue moon, and don't really get involved, then number one, we don't contribute very much to the lives of the people in the church, and they don't contribute very much to us. It requires active participation, which is why the writer of Hebrews said, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And you remember, he wrote that in the context of mutual edification, the very thing that Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 1. Do you remember that in Hebrews? I'll have to find it here. In Hebrews, let's see here. Hebrews. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, that would be found in chapter 10, would it not? And along about, and I'm not finding it here, so I will keep looking. I'm quite sure it is here, but I don't see it here. Here it is. Chapter 10. He says in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Consider one another, that is, to be focused upon others, to be involved in the lives of others. For what purpose? To provoke unto love and to good works, to prod, to stimulate, might be a better word, other believers to love, greater expressions of Christian love, and to greater activity in Christian works, good works. And that's tied to verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So what are we doing? We are interacting with one another. We are considerate of one another. We want to stimulate one another to greater love, greater expression of good works. We want to exhort one another. That has to do with encouraging one another to do what we ought to do as believers. And how is that accomplished? Well, it's accomplished in the context of the church. That's why right in the middle of all of this, we read, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. You can't do this. You can't carry out these exhortations and many similar ones that are found throughout the New Testament. It would be good sometime to study all of the places in the New Testament that talk about one another. All the things we are to do for one another or in relationship to one another. The one anothering passages in the New Testament. But all of these one anothering passages require our regular activity in the life of the church, which begins by being faithful to the meetings of the church, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Now, simply attending church doesn't discharge the responsibilities that are talked about here. You have to go beyond just attending, but you can't do any less than attending. You can't discharge these responsibilities without attending faithfully. You certainly need to get beyond that. We've got to get beyond the mentality that church is something you go to. I go to church as if I am going to a concert. I'm going to a ball game. I'm going to some other particular program. It starts at a certain time. It ends at a certain time because I show up at the appointed time and sit through the program and leave when it's over. Then I have discharged my responsibility. I have not forsaken the assembling of myself together with other believers. I went to church. I was there. But what about these things you're supposed to do when you are there? Stimulating one another to love and to good works. Exhorting one another. How did you do that? When did you do that? Where did you do that? You see, it's in the context of the assembly we do this, but it requires personal activity in relationships to others to accomplish this. So it obviously requires more than just simply showing up at the appointed time and leaving when it's over. You can't accomplish these instructions by doing it that way. But you sure can't accomplish these instructions by forfeiting, by boycotting the services of the church, by not being there at all. You've got to start by being there, and then beyond that, you've got to build relationships. That's really what it boils down to. You've got to build relationships within the body of Christ. And that's the only way that you can fulfill these responsibilities. You've got to be there in order to build or cultivate, might be another word, in order to cultivate these relationships. You can't do that in absence any more than you can cultivate a dating relationship or a good marriage relationship if you're absent all the time. We've all heard the story about the young man who had a girlfriend, a sweetheart, but he went off to war and he was faithful. And this is a current situation, isn't it? But he was faithful to write to her every day. And after 6 months, she married the mailman. Must not have had a real strong relationship before he left, or she must have had a short memory. But the point is well taken. You can't substitute long distance absence from, can't substitute that for regular, daily contact. You build relationships by being there. You can't be absent all the time. You can't be gone all the time. You can't be long distant all the time and cultivate a good relationship. You can't do that in a dating situation. You can't do that in a marriage. And you've got to keep working at cultivating this relationship after you're married. I hope you understand that. And you can't do that in the body of Christ. You can't be an absentee Christian and fulfill these responsibilities. The church is the primary means for the believer's growth. And here's how it takes place, among other things, by our interrelationship, our interrelated activity in ministering to one another within the body of Christ. That's not the whole thing. There is a great deal to be gained by attending the service, by sitting through the service, by listening to the service, by worshiping in the service, as I have made clear on recent broadcasts. But then beyond that, we cultivate relationships and minister to one another through those. And so until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.